Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We come before you, Father, seeking to do your will. We come before you, Father, seeking your truth. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us and that you would bless your servants, those that have taken this time out on your holy Sabbath day to commune with you, Father, to learn of you. We come before you, Father, because we know that there is no one else. There is none greater than you. And we ask, Father, that your power might be upon your people and that you might bless each and every one of us that have entered into the covenant with you and that you would continue to bless us and raise us up on that last day when Yahshua returns. So, Father, as we seek to do your will, we ask, Father, that you would bless your servants throughout this world, wherever they may be found. And we ask, Father, that your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, his great sacrifice would cover all our sin for those that might sin against you yet, Father. We ask, because we do have an advocate with you, your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, our soon coming King, Father. And we know him, Father, because we've entered into the covenant with you through his shed blood. And he is our propitiation, our atonement, as we seek to be at one with you each and every day. We try to draw closer to you. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated at this time. This message is entitled, The Power Behind the Throne. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, I thank my Elohim always concerning you for the grace of Yahweh which was given you in the Messiah Yahshua, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of the Messiah was confirmed in you, so that you come behind is in no gift, waiting for the revelation of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, who shall also confirm you to the end, that you be unreprovable in the day of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. Yahweh is faithful, and that's true, brethren. Yahweh is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah, our Master. See, we were called into this fellowship. Remember the saying, many are called and few are chosen. Now in verse 10, I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, that you all speak the same thing. See, we have to be in unity, brethren. And that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been signified to me concerning you, my brethren, by them that are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I mean, that each one of you says, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of the Messiah. Is the Messiah divided? No, he's not. And we read the Shema twice a day. Yahweh is one. Was Paul impaled for you? No. Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? No, again, not. Verse 14, I thank Elohim that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest any man should say that you were baptized into my name. This is Paul speaking. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptize any other. For the Messiah sent me not to baptize, but to preach the good tidings, not in words of wisdom, lest the torture stake of the Messiah should be made void. For the word of the stake is to them that perish, I have written here, are perishing. Foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it's a process. It is the power of Yahweh. It is the power of Yahweh. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I bring to nothing. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not Yahweh made the wisdom of this world foolish? For seeing that in the wisdom of Elohim, the world through its wisdom did not know Yahweh. And truly, they did not. And most don't, even yet today. It was Yahweh's good pleasure through the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Now you think about it. These wise men in the world today, most of them, think of all the scientists and all of the knowledge that they've been endowed with, as well as in the other disciplines. How many of them know Yahweh? Very few. Very few. They may know of him. They've heard the name. They know he's the mighty one of Israel. Or, as I was taught when I was in school, he was that bloodthirsty, mighty one of Israel that commanded that all the people in Canaan be killed. You know, because their inheritance was being turned over. But it's not Yahweh. The Creator? Is he not in control of all things? It says here, again, it was Yahweh's good pleasure through the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Seeing that the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, that we preach the Messiah impaled. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to them that are called both Jews and Greeks, the Messiah is the power of Yahweh and the wisdom of Yahweh. Because the foolishness of Yahweh is wiser than men, and the weakness of Yahweh is stronger than men. Acts. Chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we'll start in verse 4. It says, they therefore that were scattered abroad went about preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Messiah. And the multitudes gave heed with one accord. They did it in unity to the things that were spoken by Philip when they heard and saw the signs which he did. For from many of those that had unclean spirits, they came out crying with a loud voice. And many that were palsied and that were lame were healed. And there was much joy in that city. But there was a certain man, Simon by name, who before time in the city used sorcery. Excuse me. And amazed the people of Samaria. Remember, Samaria was the capital city of Israel in the north. Okay? Jerusalem, the capital in the south. This is when Israel had been split. And it continued that way. So, it says here, he amazed the people of Samaria, given out that he himself was some great one. And people do. They believe when they see people performing magic or things of that nature that these people have something great about them. Okay? Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is that power of Elohim, which is called great. And they gave heed to him because that of a long time he had amazed them with his sorceries. But we know from the scriptures, which we'll call anything in the Old Testament the scriptures, because that's the scriptures that they spoke of, that we're not supposed to be involved in any sorcery. We're not supposed to have anything to do with the witches or any of those negative or evil things. And we see that in Deuteronomy as well as other passages. Verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip's preaching, preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of Yahweh, and the name Yahshua the Messiah, they were baptized. See, they were kind of like following the sorcerer because he amazed them. And then they heard Philip came on the scene and started preaching Yahshua. Both men and women were baptized. And Simon, in verse 13, also himself believed. And being baptized, he continued with Philip, beholding the signs and the great miracles worked. And he was amazed. You see, he was amazed. This great one that people were worshiping, they were following this man. Now, when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Yahweh, they sent to them Peter and John. Because Philip was a deacon, and he went down and did this baptizing, but they sent the elders. They sent Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it had fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the sovereign Yahshua. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, when Simon saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power. He was already baptized. All he had to do was wait. They were going to lay hands on him. He would have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you see, he still had that sorcery in him. He still had that evil spirit because he wanted to buy it. See? He wanted to control it. He wanted that power to be able to do what they were doing. Again, in verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Not something you can buy. But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you have thought to obtain the gift of Yahweh with money." It's not something you can buy. "You have neither part nor lot in this manner, for your heart is not right before Yahweh." And that's the key. Our heart has to be right before Yahweh to be able to perform the miracles, to be able to do the things that Philip was doing and that the apostles were doing. "Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray Yahweh, if perhaps the thought of your heart shall be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered and said, "Pray you for me to Yahweh, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." When Saul sinned, he asked Samuel to pray for him, even though he had already gone in the wrong direction. He didn't trust Yahweh. And that's the key, brethren. We have to trust Yahweh. And when we trust Yahweh, guess what? He blesses us with everything that we have need of. He provides everything that we have need of. He gives us of his spirit, his power. A window open that was closed. I need to get back. We have to understand that Almighty Yahweh gives the Spirit to them that obey. Acts 5:32. We know this. It says, "There is a power behind the throne for good and evil. Which of those powers are motivating you in your life?" Turn over to 1 Kings 18. First Kings 18, we see a passage dealing with the man of Elohim, Eliah the prophet. Now, Eliah means "my mighty one is Yahweh." We're going to start in verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of Yahweh came to Eliah in the third year, saying, 'Go, show yourselves to Ahab.'" Remember, he had stopped the rain. Eliah did. For 3.5 years, and this is in that at the end of the 3.5 years. He said, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Eliah went to show himself to Ahab, and the famine was severe in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah and Obadiah means the servant of Yahweh. He feared Yahweh greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of Yahweh that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the fountains of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules alive, that we do not lose all the beasts." So they divided the land between them to pass over into it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Eliab met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my superior Eliab?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your sovereign, behold, Eliab is here." And he said, "And what have I sinned that you would deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As Yahweh Elohim lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my sovereign has not sent to seek you." And when they said, "He is not here," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found you not. And now you say, "Go tell your sovereign, behold, Eliah is here." And it will come to pass, as soon as I have gone from you, that the Spirit of Yahweh will carry you from where I know not. So when I come to tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, fear Yahweh from my youth. Was it not told to my superior what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of Yahweh, how I hid 100 men of Yahweh's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell your sovereign, behold, Eliah is here, and he will kill me. And Eliah said, as Yahweh of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Eliah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Eliah, that Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of Yahweh and have followed the Baalim. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of Asherah 400. That eat at Jezebel's table." And Jezebel stood for false religion. There's 850 prophets there. See? And then she was cutting off and killing the prophets of Yahweh. Now, Jezebel, the meaning is unknown. This is the name of the wife of Ahab, king of Israel, and the mother of Ahaziah and Jehoram and Athaliah. Jezebel was a tyrant who corrupted her husband as well as the nation by promoting pagan worship. She was reared in Sidon, a commercial city on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea in Phoenicia, known for its idolatry and vice. When she married Ahab and moved to Jezreel, a city that served Yahweh, she decided to turn it into a city that worshiped Baal, or Baal, a Phoenician mighty one. The wicked, idolatrous queen soon became the power behind the throne. Obedient to her wishes, Ahab erected a sanctuary for Baal and supported hundreds of pagan prophets, which we're reading about in 1 Kings 18. When the prophets of Yahweh opposed Jezebel, she had them massacred in 1 Kings 18:4-13. After Eliah defeated her prophets on Mount Carmel, she swore revenge. She was such a fearsome figure that the great prophet was afraid and ran for his life, which is in 1 Kings 19. What we want to explore today with her being the power behind the throne in Israel. Okay? Ahab went into idolatry. But see, this is how the devil works. Not only did she affect Israel, she had her daughter, Athaliah, married to the prince of Judah. See? So that she would be the power behind the throne in that regime. So that Satan would get his worship, see? And they would pull the people away from Yahweh. So we have to understand what's going on. We're going to continue to read in 1 Kings 18. In verse 20, we all know the story, but we're going to read it anyway. Let's explore it. So Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together to Mount Carmel. And Eliah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between the two sides? If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then Eliah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of Yahweh. But Baal's prophets are 450. He forgot about what Obadiah told him, about the 100 prophets that he had saved. "Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And you call on the name of your Elohim, and I will call on the name of Yahweh. And the Elohim that answers by fire, let him be Elohim." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Eliah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bullocks for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your mighty one, but put no fire under it." And they took the bullock which was given to them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice nor any answer. And they leaped about the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Eliah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a mighty one. Either he is meditating, or is busy, or is on a journey, or perhaps he sleeps and must be awakened." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And it was so when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening oblation, and there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Eliah sent to all the people, "Come near to me." All the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of Yahweh that was thrown down. And Eliah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of Yahweh came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahweh. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran all around the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening oblation, and Eliah the prophet came near and said, "O Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are Elohim in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Yahweh, hear me, that this people may know that you, Yahweh, are Elohim, and that you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in this trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Yahweh, he is Elohim. Yahweh, he is Elohim. And Eliah said to them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." And they took them, and Eliah brought them down to the brook Kishon and killed him there. It seems that there is a lot of confusion in the world today. Paul was trying to get people to understand that he didn't want the worship. He didn't want people saying, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos. He wanted them to be of Yahshua the Messiah. And this is where the unity comes in. Israel was divided. See? Because they had left the worship of Almighty Yahweh. We have to maintain that worship. Not only maintain the worship, we have to understand that Yahweh, He is Elohim. There is no other. He is the living El. All the others are idols. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 51. And it came to pass, when the days were well nigh come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and set messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he was going to Jerusalem, which he was. And when his disciples Jacob and John saw this, they said, Rabbi, will you that we bid fire come down from heaven and consume them? They wanted to consume these Samaritans because of their attitude. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Just take the dust off your shoes and keep moving. Second Kings chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 1. And Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahaz. And Ahaziah fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria. This is his son. And was sick. And he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the mighty one of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this sickness. But the angel of Yahweh said to Eliah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no Elohim in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the mighty one of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says Yahweh, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die. And Eliah departed. And the messengers returned to him. And he said to them, why is it you have returned? And they said to him, there came up a man to meet us and said to us, go turn again to the king that sent you. And say to him in this manner, says Yahweh, is it because there is no Elohim in Israel that you send to inquire of Baal-zebub, the mighty one of Ekron? Now, Ahaziah had to see what Eliah did to the prophets of Baal. He had to know because his mother was Jezebel. You understand? And she had it out for Eliah after what had happened in 1 Kings 18. She wanted him dead. It says, in this manner, says Yahweh, it is because there is no Elohim in Israel that you sit and inquire of Beelzebub, the mighty one of Ekron. Therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die. And he said to them, what man of man was he that came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Eliah the Tishbite. Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50, and went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on the top of the hill. And he spoke to him, O man of Elohim, the king has said, come down. And Eliah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I'm the man of Elohim, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And again he sent to him another captain of 50 and his 50. And he answered and said to him, O man of Elohim, thus says the king, come down quickly. And Eliah answered and said to him, if I am a man of Elohim, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And the fire of Elohim came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And again he sent the captain of a third 50 and his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Eliah. See, he knew what was going on. He got the message. And he supplicated him and said to him, O man of Elohim, I pray you, let my life and the life of these 50 of your servants be precious in your sight. Behold, there came down fire from heaven and consumed the two former captains of 50 with their 50. But now let my life be precious in your sight. And the angel of Yahweh said to Eliah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him to the king. And he said to him in this manner, says Yahweh, since you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the Elohim of Ekron. Ekron was one of the cities of the Philistines, you understand, of their enemies. Is it because there's no Elohim in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die. So he died according to the word of Yahweh, which Eliah had spoken. And Jehoram began to reign in his place. In the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. And the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Revelation chapter 11. We have to understand a few things here, brethren, that go together. Yahweh is in control. See? Eliah is still here. In Revelation chapter 11. And there was a reed given me, and there was given to me a reed like a rod, and one said, rise and measure the temple of Elohim, and the altar, and them that worship in it, and the court which is outside the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it has been given to the nations, and to the and the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the Elohim of the earth. And if any man desires to hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man shall desire to hurt them, in this manner must he be killed. These have power to shut the heaven, that it rain not during the days of their prophecy, just like Eliah, 3.5 years. And they have the power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they shall desire. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss shall make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also their master was impaled. And from among the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations do men look upon their dead bodies 3.5 days, which is a type of the 3.5 years. It's a small fraction. And do not allow their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. And they shall send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented them, judged them that dwell on the earth. And after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up here, a high calling. And they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies saw them. And in that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and there were killed in the earthquake 7,000 persons. And the rest were terrified and gave glory to the Elohim of heaven. Is that what it's going to take for people to give glory to Yahweh? They have to see the judgment of Yahweh fall upon the earth. They have to see people dying to their left and their right before they'll give Yahweh glory. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire. And this people would, and it shall devour them. The word of Yahweh is going to devour the people. The word of Yahweh is going to cause them to be destroyed. Those that will not yield, those that will not bow down and give Yahweh glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 14. It says, I write these things not to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. For though you have 10,000 tutors in the Messiah, yet you have not many fathers. When the Messiah Yahshua I have begotten you through the good tidings. I beseech you, therefore, be imitators of me. For this cause have I sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful child in Yahweh, who shall put you in remembrance of my ways, which are in the Messiah, even as I teach everywhere in every assembly. Now some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, if Yahweh will, and I will know not the word of them that are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of Yahweh is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Everyone wants that spirit of gentleness. They don't want the fire of Yahweh. They don't want the power of Yahweh to destroy their lives. Luke chapter, okay. Second Kings 11. Now, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal seed. Now, Athaliah, again, this is the daughter of Jezebel. Her son was Ahaziah and Jehoram, who took over after Ahaziah died. Her other son took over. But she was the power behind the throne there, just like her mother was the power behind the throne in Israel. Okay? But Yehushiba, this daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons that were slain, even him and his nurse, and put them in the bedchamber, and they hid him from Athaliah so that he was not killed. And he was with her, hid in the house of Yahweh, 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. Now this woman was killing her own grandchildren. And in the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains over the hundreds and the Karaites and of the guards, and brought them in to him into the house of Yahweh. And he made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of Yahweh, and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you that come in on the Sabbath shall be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate, sir, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep watch of the house and be a barrier. And the two companies of you, even all that go forth on the Sabbath, shall keep the watch of the house of Yahweh for the king. You shall surround the king, every man with his weapons in his hand. And he that comes inside the ranks, let him be put to death. And you be with the king when he goes out, when he comes in. So the high priest gave protection of this young king. Verse 9, and the captain over the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded, and they each took his men, those that were to come in on the Sabbath, and to those that would go out on the Sabbath, and they came to Jehoiada the priest, and the priest delivered to the captains over the hundreds the spears and the shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of Yahweh, and the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, along by the altar of the house, by the king all around. Then he brought out the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him and clapped their hands and said, long live the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the house of Yahweh. And she looked, and behold, the king stood by the pillar, as the manner was, and the captains and the trumpets. By the king and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew the trumpet. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. And Jehoiada the priest commanded that the captains of the hundreds that were set over the host and said to them, bring her out to the outside of the ranks, and let him that follows her kill with the sword. For the priest said, let her not be killed in the house of Yahweh. So they made way for her, and she went by the way of the horse's entry to the king's house, and there she was killed. And Jehoiada made a covenant between Yahweh and the king and the people, that they should be Yahweh's people. The same covenant that Eliyahu made with the people, that they would be Yahweh, he is Elohim, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went to the house of Baal and broke it down. And his altars and his images, they broke into pieces thoroughly and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of Yahweh. And he took the captains over the hundreds and the Karaites and the guard and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from the house of Yahweh and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat on the throne of the king. And so all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. And Athaliah they had killed with the sword at the king's house. And Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. The wickedness and the evil is always going to be apparent. But see, you have to understand what power is behind the throne, whether it's going to be used for good or for evil. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of Yahweh and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor wallet nor bread nor money. Neither have two coats. And into whatever house you enter, there remain, and there depart. And as many as receive you not, when you depart from that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went throughout the villages, preaching the good tidings and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done, and he was much perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, and by some that Eliyahu had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. And Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. He wanted to see who this was that was creating such a stir in Israel. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to the village named Emmaus, which was 60 furlongs from Jerusalem. And they communed with each other of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass while they were communed and questioned together that Joshua himself drew near and went with them. This is after the resurrection. But their eyes were held that they should not know him. And he said to them, what communications are these that you have one with another as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, said to him, do you alone sojourn in Jerusalem and not know the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Yahshua the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before Elohim and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and impaled him. But we hoped that it was he who should redeem Israel. They were looking for the redemption, and they were looking for the political. They were looking for the king to take over and rule. They weren't looking for the spiritual leader. They weren't looking for Yahshua ben Yosef. They were looking for Yahshua ben David, son of David, the ruling king. And that's the same one the Jews are looking for today. So when he comes, and you ask any Jew, when he comes, are you going to stick him? See? Because Yahshua was pierced with a Roman spear. And that was a part of the fulfilling of prophecy. Jews can't answer that, because they have not accepted Yahshua the first time he came. So when he comes second time, and they don't think it's his first, okay? Think about it. Are they going to stick him? Because they looked upon him whom they pierced, according to Zechariah 12:10. Think about it. These prophecies all have to be fulfilled for the power behind the throne to be revealed to the people. Yes, in verse 21b, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things came to pass. Moreover, certain women of our company amazed us, having been early at the tomb. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of them that were with us went to the tomb and found it, even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. The Yahshua is revealing to them what is going on. They knew the prophecy, but he's telling them they're slow to believe. And all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary the Messiah to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 28, and they drew near to the village where they were going, and he made as though he would go further, and they constrained him, saying, remain with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. And he went in to remain with them, and it came to pass, when he sat down with them to meat, he took the bread and blessed, and breaking it, he gave to them, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, was not our heart burning within us while he spoke to us in the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the teacher has been raised indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they rehearsed the things that happened in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Verse 36. And as they spoke these things, he himself stood in the middle of them and said to them, peace be unto you. Shalom aleichem. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they beheld a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do questionings arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet? It is I, myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you behold me having. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved, they still disbelieved for joy and wondered. He said to them, have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their mind that they might understand the scriptures. And he said to them, in this manner it is written that the Messiah should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, in Yahshua's name, to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but stay you in the city until you be clothed with power from on high. And he led them out until they were over against Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing Yahweh. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power but of Yahweh. And the powers that be are ordained of Yahweh. Therefore, he that resists the power withstands the ordinance of Yahweh, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. Would you have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise from the same. For he is the minister of Yahweh to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the minister of Yahweh, an avenger for wrath to him that does evil. For this reason you must be in subjection, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause you pay tribute also, for they are ministers of Yahweh's service, attending continually upon this very thing. Render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything save to love one another, for he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy. But put on the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, and do not make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. Romans chapter 1. There is a power behind the throne, brethren, for good, for evil. I showed you an example of that which was behind the throne for evil. is you have to understand that Yahweh is still in control. Even though he might allow the Jezebels and the Athaliahs and Assad, King Assad, and some of these other leaders that are not treating their people the way they need to be treated. He is still in control. And we have to yield to Almighty Yahweh and give glory to him because he is the one that's going to reveal in these last days his son, Yahshua the Messiah, the true power behind the throne, and the Holy Spirit, his power that is used to do his will. See, today the Holy Spirit can be had by anyone willing to yield to Yahweh. Simon Magus was baptized. He was right there about to receive the Holy Spirit. And what happened? He wanted to purchase it. Instead of just receiving it, allowing Almighty Yahweh to bless him. See, Almighty Yahweh is going to reveal what's in each and every one of our hearts. Whether we're going to accept his power or the power of the evil one. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Yahshua the Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated to the good tidings of Yahweh, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, who was declared to be the Son of Yahweh with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Isaiah 11:1 is where that prophecy is. It says in verse 5, by the resurrection from the dead, even Yahshua the Messiah, our Master, through whom we receive grace and apostleship to obedience of faith among all the nations for his name's sake, among whom are you also called to be Yahshua the Messiah. For all that are in Rome, beloved of Yahweh, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from Yahweh our Father, and the sovereign Yahshua, the Messiah. First, I thank my Elohim through Yahshua, the Messiah, for you all, and that your faith is proclaimed throughout the entire world. But Yahweh is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit, in the good tidings of his Son, how I unceasingly make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I may be prospered by the will of Yahweh to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established, that is, that I with you may be comforted in you, each of us with the other's faith, both yours and mine. And I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you, and was held back until now, that I might have some food in you. Also, even as in the rest of the Gentiles, I am debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So as much as is in me, I am ready to bring good tidings to you also that are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the good tidings, for it is the power of Yahweh for salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in this righteousness to Yahweh is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith, which is from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. For the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from heaven against all lawlessness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth and unrighteousness. And this is what Ahab did. He hindered the truth by allowing Jezebel to run rampant in the kingdom of Israel. He didn't take control. He did repent, though, after Eliah came and did his thing. Ahab repented before he died. Verse 19, because that which is known of Yahweh is manifest in them, for Yahweh manifested it to them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and majesty, that they may be without excuse. Because that, knowing Yahweh, they did not glorify him as Elohim, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim from the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And truly they have done that. They worship the host of heaven, not just the Apis bull or like they were doing in Egypt, but they worship the bull and Dan and Beth. Today, they worship the image of man, the crosses. They worship these little statues that you'll see. Men worship just about everything today with materialism, okay? But the key here is that we understand who is the power behind the throne, and we yield to that power and give glory to Yahweh in every aspect of our being. See, because those that are wicked are giving wickedness in every aspect of their being. But we have to be just the opposite. Hebrews chapter 6. This is our closing passage. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of the Messiah, let us press on to perfection. In Matthew 5, I believe it's 48, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He's given us that ability through Yahshua's shed blood to become perfected, brethren. That's Matthew 5, 48. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Yahweh, of the teachings of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if Yahweh permit. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, they were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, and tasted the good word of Yahweh and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they impaled to themselves the Son of Yahweh again and put him to an open shame. For the land which was drunk, which has drunk the rain that comes often upon it and brings forth herbs useful for them, for whose sake it is also tilled, receives blessings from Yahweh But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is rejected and near to a curse, whose end is to be burned. And the same for those people who have turned back from following Yahweh, as it says in Zephaniah. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. So we must speak, for Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love that you showed toward his name, and that you ministered to the saints and still do minister. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence to the fullness of hope, even to the end, that you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when Yahweh made promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And thus, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men swear by the greater, and in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final and for confirmation, in which Yahweh, being minded to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for Yahweh to lie, we may have a strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and entering into that which is within the veil, Whereas a forerunner, Yahshua entered for us, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the righteous king. He is the power behind the throne. Yahweh has revealed to us his son, Yahshua the Messiah. Yahshua the Messiah is Melchizedek. He's the one that received tithes from Abram way back in the day. He is the one that has came and bought us with that price, brethren, his precious blood. We were bought. This is why it's so important for us to understand that our jobs are to be faithful and not tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, but to be faithful to the power that is behind the throne. Because Almighty Yahweh is faithful. He is faithful all the time. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you seek to serve him in everything that you do. At this time, I'd like to ask you to stand. I'll ask Brother Davis to come forth and close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, we praise and thank you for this word, praise and thank you for this day, this time, this session, Almighty Yahweh. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to keep us in remembrance that Yahweh is faithful in all things that we face, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that you will pour out your Spirit so we can all speak the same thing, Almighty Yahweh, and allow our hearts to be pure in you. Strengthen us to be obedient, Almighty Yahweh, and strengthen us so our faith don't fail. Strengthen us to make a righteous decision without wavering, and allow us to know in all things what men of spirit we are. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would continue to allow us to work in your work in your peace and work in your season, Almighty Yahweh. And have mercy on your servants when their earthly parents are trying to kill the anointing on their lives spiritually. Quicken us too, Almighty Yahweh, to see Yahshua in his way in all times in our lives. Many times we walk by prayer requests or walk by people, Almighty Yahweh, and we just ignore them. Allow us to be diligent to plant a seed or water a seed, or so that seed can take root and bring forth fruit unto your glory. Keep us to be under subjection unto you, Almighty Yahweh, and allow us to love according to your scriptures. Free us, Almighty Yahweh, from anything that would keep our spirits away from you. And we ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would perfect which concerns us and allow we, your children, those who are married, Almighty Yahweh, we're to become one, Almighty Yahweh. Allow those spirits to actually be one and allow your spirit to rest and rule and abide on all your biologically born sons who marry your biologically born daughters. Allow them all to know when to listen and when not to one another, Almighty Yahweh. Many things get twisted when one is controlling and one has fear. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would strengthen each right now to walk according to your election and purpose, and we'll praise you and glorify you and lift you up. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would allow we, your children, to have this word sealed in us so that we can know the power behind the throne. In your son Yahshua's name, we praise you and thank you. Hallelujah.
Our closing song, we're going to sing number 17, Even So.